The Defense Department's Intelligence Information Systems Worldwide Conference is starting this week in Atlanta, Georgia. The conference's theme this year is Mission Integration at the Speed of Operations. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni is on the ground in Atlanta, and he brings us an opening story from the conference.
The Defense Department is days or weeks away from changing a more than 30-year-old intelligence policy on data collection. Taking in bulk data has become a way of life now that the internet is so ubiquitous. But as we've seen from revelations about the National Security Agency collecting data on U.S. citizens and through multiple hacks in the government, personal privacy has taken a big hit in the past few years. Part of the problem is the ambiguity of antiquated policies and laws when they're applied to 21st century technologies and threats. DOD created an office in the 1990s to try to act as a watchdog over intelligence agencies, a way to balance security and privacy. That Office of Intelligence Oversight is now changing its policy on how the intelligence community collects and holds data in the name of national security. Here's DOD's senior intelligence oversight official Michael Mahar speaking at the DOD Information Intelligence Systems Worldwide Conference.
In addition to the information revolution, we've got a myriad of laws and directives that have come out from Congress, from the President, from the Director of National Intelligence that guide the way we do intelligence in this modern age and reflective of all the changes that I just talked about. So we had to take our policies and make sure that they were consistent with all the other intelligence guidance that we have. And those intelligence guidance are designed to maintain a balance between the imperative to collect the intelligence information that our national decision makers need and that our warfighters need, and balance that against the even more strict imperative to protect and safeguard the privacy and civil liberties of U.S. people. And those are compatible concepts, but you need to maintain a balance there. So we convened a team of about 30 professionals at the senior levels of every defense intelligence component, plus our interagency partners. We had folks in particular from the Department of Justice and from the Office of the Director for National Intelligence. And together with this team, we took these 34-year-old procedures and line by line we went through to update them for the modern era.
So what's DOD changing? The biggest change comes from the use of shared data. The intelligence community is constantly collecting information in the form of maps, telephone calls, GPS locations, and website logins. The problem in the past was each intelligence component was stovepiped. The Navy might have a piece of information on a terrorist, and the NSA would have another piece of information. But without the two pieces together, the military would be unable to take action. By sharing data, intelligence communities can collaborate on information. Of course, that causes some serious problems about who is authorized to access the information and how much of it. To make a shared repository, the rules need to be standardized. Here's what Mahar has to say.
What we've done is, for the first time, established rules and procedures and responsibilities for both the hosts and the participants in these systems. So the host responsibilities are, it's the typical one, to perform support for the related tools and tasks that are associated with that system. That's kind of a no-brainer. But the second one is to make sure that we enable audit of access to those systems to the maximum extent practicable. What that means is we need to know who's going in and looking at that data, what kind of queries they're doing, and what authorities they have to do that, and that'll enable our oversight to see how that data is being handled. And that presents a challenge. You know, the reason we say to the maximum extent practicable is because there are so many different data systems out there that respond to so many different intelligence requirements that we wanted to give the flexibility to the community to develop those systems, and we'll look at it and we'll see if we think that meets the standard. And the next thing is a host of a shared data repository needs to have written confirmation from all of the users that are going to share data in that repository that they're going to comply with the same laws and rules and procedures that govern all of our components. And what that necessitates is that across the community, not just within the Department of Defense, but across the whole intelligence community, we've got a standard understanding of what those laws and rules and procedures are. And that's the challenge that we have as we interface with our interagency partners, and the challenge that the Director of National Intelligence has as they integrate these policies across the field.
the intelligence community will also change the way it holds on to data. Right now, data is only considered collected when it's actually taken out of a repository for use. That means the government can gather all the data it wants and hold on to it for as long as it wants, but unless it's actually used, it's not considered collected. The new policy will change that. Once data is actually collected, no matter if it's looked at or not, a countdown begins for how long the government can hold on to it. The type of data collected dictates how long it can be held. The intelligence community is breaking data into four different categories: information intentionally collected from U.S. persons, unintentionally collected data, data voluntarily handed over, and data from special circumstances. Intentional data collected on U.S. persons is to be evaluated promptly, something Mahar says is subjective depending on the size and importance of data. The maximum, though, is 5 years. Here's Mahar on the other categories.
The next step is for voluntarily provided information, which is the same sort of thing. When that information comes into us, we require prompt evaluation. And when I say evaluation, what I'm talking about is an assessment of that information to be able to call out what portions of it contain U.S. person information, and to take that U.S. person information and hold it up against the 13 rules that we have that enable us to retain that. And if it doesn't fall in those 13 sets of rules, out it goes. For incidentally collected information and for voluntary collected information, it depends on where that information came from. And if it's from outside the United States or the primary target is a known non-US person, they can retain that information for up to 25 years, which sounds like a long period of time, but for a lot of our databases in the Middle East, we never thought we'd be there as long as we're there. And that information, that time goes by fairly quickly, and that information in that database is very important to be able to have and track the movements and the pattern of life of some of these high-value targets. And then finally, for the special circumstances collection, again, that's that area that has to do with volume, proportionality, sensitivity, and the intrusiveness of the method, that we have special safeguards, and that information can only be retained, again, for a maximum of 5 years, regardless whether it was from inside or outside the U.S.
Once the policy is out, DoD has some serious work to do. In order to conform to these new rules, the department needs industry help. Here's Mahar again.
So this is the important part. This is the foot stomper. What are the IT challenges that are associated with everything that I've talked about with these new procedures that are about to be unveiled? And first and foremost, I think, is we need to be able to effectively limit access to only those employees, only those intelligence professionals that have the appropriate securities level, they have the appropriate access permission, and they have a specific mission requirement to look at that data. And that is an IT challenge when you're talking about over 150,000 intelligence professionals that are engaged in some aspect of collection, retention, dissemination, analysis, or IT support. That's a big challenge for us, and that's a challenge for you.
DoD basically needs industry's help to figure out issues like how to limit searches so the minimum amount of personal information is exposed. It will also need help in monitoring and auditing searches. In Atlanta, Scott Massioni, FederalNewsRadio.com, and 1500 AM.